This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Elijah Blair.
Well, hello and welcome to Deadly Choices Radio. My name is Elijah Blair, and before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where our program is broadcasting on, and of course, the traditional owners where you may be taking our program from. DC Radio, it's all about mob making deadly choices. At this current time, these are protecting yourself and protecting your family, eating healthy, remaining active in body and mind, resisting the temptation to take up smoking, or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your family. This is actually our last show for 2020. Let's go around the grounds and introduce everybody. We've got IUE's Dr. Carolyn Harvey, DC team leader Nathan Apo, DC ambassador Willie Tonga, and former DC general manager Ian Lacey. Hello, everyone.
How you doing?
How you going?
Really, really good. We'll start off with Ian, if we can. If we could just recap the year, what have you been up to this year for DC?
Yeah, as you know, it's been quite a unique year for everyone across the world. But yeah, Deadly Choices, I think that's a testament to the power of the brand and the people within the organisation that we've been able to maintain our momentum in terms of what we're trying to achieve out in our communities right across the country, especially here in Queensland and further to that, southeast Queensland. So, COVID hit and obviously everyone had to start adjusting their ways of operating and their ways of being, yep. Which, took a tremendous toll on everyone, especially within our community. So we had to, come up with some new strategies and some new ways of operating, but we were able to do that in a seamless manner, which was a really good outcome for us as an organisation and a brand within the organisation, So we had to respond by, grounding our staff from all the face-to-face service delivery that our guys normally traditionally do. We had to come up with, models of how we can use social media and media platforms to maintain our messaging and our ability to stay connected with each other and also our community. We had to stop all of our events. Our Daily Choices events are very pivotal in terms of our success on the ground, and a lot of really good outcomes come from those large gatherings that we traditionally run throughout the year. So not having the ability to do all of that was challenging, but again, as I said, we've got a really good staffing contingent and we've got a really good support network in at IUE that's allowed us to maintain everything that we wanted to do. We had to do some really good work with our sporting club partners because, again, the challenges they faced in terms of their competitions and then their ability to have their players and their brand accessible by us to continue the good work that we've done with them in the past in engaging our community into the conversation around bettering the health behaviours within our community. So it was very difficult, very tough early on the year, but as all the restrictions started easing and everyone sort of got used to operating in the COVID environment, again, our guys really then stepped up the pace and really started picking up again where, where we lost a little bit of community engagement, we had to really pick it up again towards the end of the year. And we had some really big events towards the end of the year and activities on the ground that has enabled us to again start that reconnection sort of face-to-face. We had our program officers go back into the schools and start delivering programs again. We've had some events around the state. We've had our celebration of our 10 years. So there's been sort of a multiple sort of good news stories at the back end of a troubling year, I guess.
Yeah, and leading on from that, do you have any highlights for the year?
For me personally, I think, as I said, the way our staff and our organisation reacted to this global pandemic, I think, you talk around changing ways of operating and ways of being, but to do that, there's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes. A lot of systems have to be changed, a lot of processes, a lot of training development for staff, and that's not an easy thing to achieve, especially when you've got staff right up and down Queensland, out west, up the east coast. It's a big operation, Deadly Choices, these days, with over 100 odd staff across the state, delivering outcomes and delivering programs in our community. So the way that our, you know, our staff and our organisation and also our community members accepted the change that had to be made, I think that was a highlight for me, because it just, as I said, we didn't really lose momentum. We halted momentum in some areas, but we picked up in others. So the way that we've been able to do that, there wouldn't be many organisations across the country that could move as quick as we did during that time.
Ian, obviously 10 years of DC, it's a pretty incredible milestone. Can you just talk a bit more to the 10 years and I guess your role at DC?
Yeah, so I was one of the first staff members of Deadly Choices. So myself and Kieran Lander started Deadly Choices back in 2010. So 10 years this year to celebrate all the, you know, wonderful things we've been able to achieve. As I said, you know, two of us started way back then, and then, you know, to have, you know, a program that's now funded by the state and federal government to be rolled out right across Queensland is a massive achievement. You know, it was really difficult to get things up and running just in southeast Queensland when we first started, but then to think now that we're going into all other communities right across the state, and also some of our other partner organisations across the country that have invested in the Deadly Choices brand, you know, really it's really humbling to see how big it has grown and how much the community has accepted it, because we always say that Deadly Choices is a community owned brand, and we are judged and you know, all of our community members have their opinion on whether Deadly Choices is working or not working. So for the vast majority that really like what we do, and then the uptake and all the you know, strategic sort of plans and activities that we roll out as a program, the numbers just keep increasing every year. And, you know, those health check shirts, you can't go anywhere in Australia and not see one. So, you know, to have that sort of brand recognition and that sort of trust by community and what we have developed, and to start to see some of the you know, the outcomes on the back of that, we are changing lives for our community for the better, and that's a really good achievement.
In just recapping, I guess 2020, do you have any favourite events that have gone on this year?
For me, the 10-year celebration dinner is obviously, as I said, is close to home for me, because, you know, as I said, I started the program 10 years ago with Kieran. So to be able to celebrate that milestone was a really good achievement. Also, the IUE staff gathering we had last week, where we had the staff, myself, Kieran, and a few others, Steve Renoff, Scotty Bryce, and Alison Nelson, were recognised for our 10-year service at IUE. So they're really good milestones, really significant milestones for myself personally. I think, you know, it was really pleasing to see our staff go back into the community after all the restrictions started easing. You know, get back to that face-to-face service delivery, because whilst the online sort of delivery played a role in keeping the connection, our strength is in our face-to-face delivery for our people. You know, we really like building relationships with our community members and having yarning sessions and really building that rapport to be able to build trust in what we're trying to do.
Ian, mate, how much does DC change in 2021 in terms of how you're operating?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think we're still living in so much of the unknown. You know, where the pandemic across the world is still you know, very, very dangerous, and it has the potential to be very dangerous for our community. If it you know, we have been very lucky in Australia here, in the sense that it hasn't really hit our communities as much as people first anticipated when it first hit. Mm. So, you know, it's a very difficult thing to answer what it does look like in 2021, because, you know, we still don't have the vaccine landed yet. There's all this talk around when it's potentially going to come. And there's also, you know, what does it look like after the vaccine has been rolled out? And, you know, what changes and what things do we have to alter when we're, you know, doing our work in the community? So for now, I think it's just a matter of just maintaining the momentum that we've sort of created and sort of sticking to the plans of what we do know. You know, we know we can operate in a certain manner at this point in time. So I think that's what it is. And then it's just a matter of having the ability to adjust plans and make changes to how we operate once the vaccine hits and once we get some more sort of evidence around safe practices and stuff like that after all that. You know, so as I said, you know, we were able to to make changes quickly when the COVID situation sort of hit. So once we start getting some evidence around, you know, best practice and best way to stay in touch with community and get deliver our outcomes, we'll be able to make those changes quickly.
Ian, I'll transition to the Queensland Murray Carnival. Just tell us some of those key details, if you can, where, when and why.
Yep, so the Queensland Murray Carnival traditionally was run the October long weekend, but again, COVID meant that we had to cancel the carnival initially, but now we've got some advice back from Queensland Health and the Queensland Rugby League that we can stage the carnival. So it's going to be held from the 18th to the 23rd of January, and it's actually two events in one. So the Junior Murray Carnival, which is the little kids, the 6, 8s, 10s and 12-year-olds, is normally run in the June, July school holiday. Days, but again, was cancelled due to COVID, so we're merging both carnivals. So the 18th, 19th is the junior carnival, and then the 20th to the 23rd is the senior carnival. It's going to be held back at Redcliffe Dolphins. It's actually the 10th year of the Queensland Murray Carnival this year, so it's a celebration of a milestone. So, you know, all the hard work that's gone into that carnival over the last 10 years and the work done through the Arthur Beetson Foundation, and obviously, you know, following on from the tragic passing of Arthur after the first carnival, you know, his legacy is alive within this carnival and all the wonderful work that he did in communities right across the country, you know, following his rugby league career is embedded into this carnival. So the fact that it's going to be the first sort of major event of, and you know, significant gathering of communities from right across Queensland since COVID hit the country is a significant milestone. You know, it'll be a safe carnival. We've got a COVID safe plan that we're getting final endorsement from Queensland Health very soon. So it'll be a safe event for our mob. It'll be, you know, a place where everyone can, you know, come and you know, reconnect again in the sort of that physical form. Our communities, you know, it's been well documented how, especially our remote communities, were sort of isolated and cut off from this sort of COVID pandemic, and everyone's sort of been cut off to a certain extent from family and the mob right across the country, with, you know, travel being restricted and other things. So to be able to have this celebration of the Queensland Murray Carnival in January, we've got 65 teams from right across the state, across the 7 divisions. They're all going to be coming, and you know, rugby league's the vehicle that brings all these teams to Southeast Queensland, but it's so much more than that. You know, all the sort of elements that we've got embedded into this carnival now around, you know, health checks mandatory for participants, school attendance for our young kids, making sure they're going to school leading into this carnival, being an alcohol, tobacco, drug, sugar-free event, the only sugar-free Indigenous event in the country. So all these, you know, really good elements that are built into this carnival means that we're providing a nice, safe, healthy environment for our people to come and you know, play rugby league, but connect with each other and you know, really enjoy the event.
Ian, both the junior and senior Murray carnivals are quite popular. What do you put their success down to?
Oh, yeah, rugby league, and especially in Southeast Queensland, but, you know, especially in Queensland, is what our mob love to do. You know, it's just our people thrive at sport. You know, we've got so many naturally gifted people in our communities that love being physically active, love playing in that team environment, love representing their community. So rugby league's a really good vehicle for us here in Queensland, because, we often say that the community, the Queensland Murray Carnival, is our modern day corroboree, where we get gatherings of people that come and they, you know, celebrate many cultural activities, but also through the vehicle of rugby league. And we've just got so many you know, skilled people in that environment, and you know, it's well documented how our representation in the NRL, and you know, we make up 3% of the country, but we got, you know, at sometimes 15 to 20% representation in the NRL. So, and we've got people like Willie, who's on here today, and others that have really succeeded in that sport, and these are people that have come from communities, you know, like Sherberg and others, that rugby league was their opportunity to you know, get out of the community and succeed in life, and they did it with great success. So, you know, that's a really good story for our mob. And when young people grow up, they love watching the game. They love watching, especially the people from their communities go and represent on the big stage. So it just creates such a really good following and a really good feel, because it's got so many health benefits attached with playing rugby league. You know, you're exercising regularly. You know, you got good mental health if you exercising regularly. You eat really good when you're an athlete. So all these sort of elements, that's why it's a really good fit for a brand like Deadly Choices to partner, and IUE to partner with the event, because there's so much we can do in that space through this vehicle of rugby league.
Yeah, well, I'd like to bring you into the conversation, if we can just continue the conversation about the Murray Carnival coming up. I mean, for you, why is it so important that this event happens?
Yeah, look, Ian touched on it just before, how big rugby league plays within the community. You know, personally, I know that whatever happens in the community, when rugby league's involved, everybody puts their differences aside and they're able to come together, you know, enjoy rugby league, enjoy the atmosphere. And, you know, as you know, last year was my first time being at the Murray Carnival. I saw that firsthand, and, you know, I think it's great that, you know, as Ian touched on again, we can bring our people together, experience, you know, culture, and it's something that, you know, I know that, you know, from speaking to other people, when it wasn't, when it didn't go ahead in October, everybody was asking when it was going to be back on. So it's something that our people really thrive on and look forward to.
Yeah, Willie, have you got kids?
I don't.
No, you don't have kids. Obviously, though, it's important that the Jarjums get involved. Fitness, health, interaction, and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. You know, with me personally, all I wanted to do was, you know, be outside playing with my mates. You know, playing rugby league. You know, being active. You know, and you know, I was fortunate enough to. With the right people around me and supporting me and encouraging me, I was able to, you know, I guess make a career out of it. And, you know, whether you're doing it for fun or just to meet new people, you know, family members getting together again, it's one of those events where everybody just enjoys to be a part of.
Willie, just wondering if you could speak more to some of the work you've done as a DC ambassador in 2020.
Yeah, obviously it's been a difficult, you know, time for everybody, but you know DC, you know, leading the way, you know, in its field and being able to have us ambassadors still go out and you know, into the community. Which meant a lot, you know, to myself. I guess, you know, we had like the Murray Netball Carnival, which is a success. You know, it was a big couple of days, a really good turnout, and I can just see that it's going to grow over the next couple of years into something really big. That was at the I think. More in the beginning of the year, and then just on the weekend gone, we had Music in the Park, an event up in Cairns where it was presented by, you know, Kaius and Deadly Choices as well. So throughout the week, we had different ambassadors going up, Talisha Harden, myself and Brenton Bowen going up trying to promote the event. And myself, I was up there for 2 days, so I got to go out to Mareeba, you know, speak to one of the high schools up there. Went to one of the mums and bubs clinics in Mareeba, which was awesome to see, and the work that they're doing. Yeah, it was really awesome to see that from a little community. Yeah, I even got to go out hunting crabs and got to taste turtle for the first time, which was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's been a difficult time, you know, Deadly Choices, again, has been able to get us ambassadors out there in the into the community and still be mingling with mob and, checking in on everyone.
And Ian, mate, if I can throw it back to you, when were those dates again, the 18th and 19th of January?
Yep, so the 18th, 19th is the junior carnival. That's the under 6s, under 8s, under 10s and under 12s. Mm-hmm. And then the under 13s, 15s and 17s kick off on the Wednesday, and then the men's and women's kick off on the Thursday.
Right, and just for our listeners, go to deadlychoices.com.au/events to register. Let's transition into Movember. Of course, Movember went on last month, and Nathan Apo, our Mobro, was doing some work there. Mate, can you tell us a little bit about the campaign, what it's all about, if you can?
Yeah, Elijah, I guess with Movember, it's a campaign that funds and raises awareness for men's health, focusing on testicular cancer, prostate cancer and mental health. And Deadly Choices strike up a bit of a partnership a few years ago, and we've been a partner ever since. And each year we raise money as a team, the Movember All-Stars, to raise money and awareness for our community. We know that Movember have committed over $5 million towards Indigenous men's programs within Australia. So, funding some amazing research and mental health programs around Australia. So it's great for us to be able to be a part of the campaign, but also raise some much needed awareness for, the campaign. I got asked to be an ambassador this year, and I was a part of the international campaign last year. And I guess Movember gives us this opportunity to be able to have these, tough conversations and taboo sort of conversations around health. And for myself, I think I've always wanted to be a part of the campaign and push the agenda of Indigenous men's mental health, because you just got to have a look at the statistics. I think one of the statistics is, Indigenous men between the ages of 25 to 29 have some of the highest suicide rates in the world. So, it's something that needs to be addressed, and education within that that in that environment needs to be discussed. So, I think Movember gives us this, unique opportunity, and also gives us the tools to be able to have these conversations. And Movember have created some amazing online tools called Movember Conversations that, gives you the skills and, to strike up conversations with friends and family, and see the signs as well. I think everyone's got to sort of remember that we're not all experts, but, we can definitely see, see the signs in our friends and family if there are any, and, know the signs, but also know the way to give them support as well. So, it was great to be a part of it again this year. The Movember All-Stars raised $17,200. Our target was 18, so we just fell short. But, the great thing to note is that, we all came together as a team. And also, I think something unique this year with the Movember, you don't have to always just grow the Mo. Mm. You can move from Movember. So that's something I did this year. I wanted to, I like walking and especially playing golf. I wanted to exercise and walk 60 Ks over the month. And so I did that. But our team, we walked 912 kilometres over the month, which was amazing. So we had some amazing support from our community members. John Selway, he raised $2,500. Rick Towerton, he raised close to $2,000. And one of the boys in here, Trent, who works in Allied Health, he raised $1,600. And the funny story with him, he actually put up to his friends and family, if he raised a certain amount of money, he would dye his hair blonde. Oh, and he raised the money in 2 days, and then if he raised 1,000, he had to colour it. So he coloured it pink So he's walking around with dyed hair, pink now. So, it was great to see so many men sort of raising money in their own unique way, but also being able to have that conversation and breaking down those barriers is something unique to the campaign. But I guess the message is also is, you know, you shouldn't just take the month of November and month of November to have these conversations, I guess. You know, we can do it all year round and you know, look for the signs, check in with friends and family, especially around, you know, this year. You know, with the challenges that we've had with COVID, you know, we're seeing increased numbers in, you know, isolation and, you know, just uncertainty with employment and, you know, so, you know, it's so important right now to be able to have these conversations with people around us and check in. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but all around it was an amazing campaign. The Deadly Choices team, All Stars team, did really well. You know, we had, if you signed up, you're a part of Deadly Choices Movember team. You raised $50. You actually got a Deadly Choices Movember shirt as well. And just another really cool incentive to keep everyone engaged, to raise some much-needed awareness for the campaign. So, yeah, it was great to be able to come together. You know, we did a lot of media throughout the month, but also I think the great thing about it, I see, was, you know, you have community members signing up to learn about the Movember campaign, be a part of it, but also you actually become a bit of a role model as well. You know, someone who sort of represents sort of Movember and Deadly Choices, you know, people will reach out to you if they ever need support. And I think that's the greatest tool from the Movember campaign.
All right. Thanks, Nate. We'll leave it there with you, man. Say hello and welcome Dr. Carolyn Harvey for a COVID-19 update. Dr. Harvey, how are you first and foremost?
I'm very well, thanks, Elijah. And yourself?
Yeah, doing really good. Look, it's been a massive year for everybody. It's, you know, slowly winding down. But I guess the big talking point at the moment is a vaccine. What's the latest on a vaccine here in Australia?
Yeah, certainly vaccine is becoming closer to reality. We're not jumping in Australia in the same way perhaps is happening overseas, given that our COVID numbers are very low here. There's no need for us to jump in, and I guess we're just watching what's happening with the rollout in some other countries, and I guess waiting to see which of the vaccine options that will be best suited to be used here in Australia. So it's probably going to be into next year, probably, you know, towards middle of the year, March, April, that kind of time, we're thinking, and we're preparing to be ready to assist with vaccine rollout.
From, you're a medical professional, I mean, does it excite you from a professional point of view that, you know, a vaccine is potentially going to be created?
I think it's incredibly exciting. You know, there's various things around and people sort of do have a few myths and worries about vaccines, but we have amazing scientists who just go on refining things more and more. Mm. And the idea that this pandemic that really has changed what we can do in the world can be really interrupted by vaccinating most of the population is very exciting. The logistics of it is, you know, no doubt are going to be a challenge. In other words, how we roll out in a timely way for everyone to be vaccinated is going to be really interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, I'm definitely excited.
Into holidays now, obviously a lot of people are going to be travelling, some of us going across the border. Can you talk more about those border restrictions or openings for Queensland and New South Wales?
Yeah, so the borders, you know, really have opened up now. Those restrictions we've had on and off in place have been lifted. So people are able to move around and see family. We would still advise people just to be cautious in terms of gatherings. We want to be close to family, see, especially over this time. But you know, where possible, maintaining social distancing and you know, the same old things: hand washing, not being around others if we've got any kind of coughs, colds, sniffles. There still is a place for people attending you know, the fever clinics if they have any symptoms. So, yeah, things are looking good for the Christmas season. But yeah, still caution is advised.
And certainly, we want to stay connected with our family during the holiday period. You know, especially our elders in our family who might be spread out across the country. How do you suggest mob check in with elders and make sure their mental and physical health is doing good?
Yeah, look, I think we've all got better at that this year, but it's really about picking up the phone or picking up FaceTime if you can't be with people in person, and just checking how they're doing. Certainly, I think you know, many more elders are getting familiar with the technology and using FaceTime and other methods to keep in touch. So, yeah, just if you can't be there in person, grab your device and check in, and just make sure people are travelling okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky with my family. My grandparents are in Rockhampton. A lot of our family reside in central Queensland, but I managed to teach Pop how to use the webcam. So we sort of webcam here and there, and it's been good. It's been really good, but obviously very important to stay connected with elders. If we could just reiterate, Dr. Harvey, as well, some personal hygiene sort of stuff, just around washing our hands and making sure we're, you know, we're safe when we're out in public.
Yeah, so I guess what we've been reiterating, you know, all year is that frequent hand washing, that you know, social distancing. In other words, you know, where you can, standing a bit apart from people. Certainly, just being very wary if you have any kind of cough, cold, sneezes. To stay away from people and to be tested for COVID, because even though we know the numbers are low and it's unlikely if you've got those symptoms that you have COVID, the only way we're going to be able to keep on top of this going into the future is to keep on testing anyone who has symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And we know those signs and symptoms, of course, cold and flu symptoms, cough, runny nose, fever, and that sort of thing. Going back to, I guess, the borders opening up, particularly down in Adelaide, when can we see mob being allowed into Adelaide, South Australia?
Yeah, I think that's it's a day-by-day thing at the moment. Certainly the situation they had there a couple of weeks ago, which looked like it was pretty serious, hasn't been so bad, but there are still some cases there. So, yeah, it's my understanding that this week that those final decisions about moving between Queensland and Adelaide are going to take place.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Harvey, hasn't summer been hot so far? We've had some pretty, you know, scorcher-type days. I can feel myself sort of burning up, and I think that's an important message we should be putting out there, especially to mob who think they can't get sunburnt. You've still got to be sun safe if you've got a dark skin, dark complexion. But if I can, I'll get you to yarn about sun safety, and I guess why it's important to look after our skin.
Yeah, so sun safety is incredibly important. Sometimes the really, really hot days protect us because we just don't want to head outside, and sometimes it's the days where there's a bit of cloud cover we can get caught. But it is important to protect our skin. There are several different types of skin cancers that are really very common in Australia, and sun safety really needs to be you know, front of our minds. I'm old enough that I remember the campaign called Slip, Slop, Slap, and I think it's still got the right messages there.
How good was that ad, by the way?
Yeah, I know.
Seagull.
It's still,
yeah.
You know,
yep,
still
sorry.
Pops into my head, still from the tune. But yeah, so that's, I have to remember what they are now. Yeah, so slip on a T-shirt, slop on some sunscreen, slap on a hat. So those messages about, yeah, physically covering the skin with clothing is the best way to protect the skin. Sunscreen comes next, but yeah, always wearing a hat. And the one I would always, you know, add is if you don't need to be in the sun, where you can, stay in the shade or stay indoors.
Are there any numbers, sorry, I might be putting you on the spot here, Dr. Harvey, are there any numbers around, I guess, melanoma? Because I read a few years ago that Queenslanders, we have a pretty bad problem with melanoma in particular.
Yeah, I can't quote the numbers, Elijah, but,
that's
but
okay.
Definitely it is more common in Queensland. It's as you get further north, so they say, yeah, as you get closer to the equator, then the numbers sort of relate to that. And melanoma is a very serious form of skin cancer. It can be hard to spot, and often with treatment, it can be kind of too late. So really important to get skin checks regularly, especially if you're someone that's got quite a lot of different, you know, spots and moles and things, because if they undergo any change, it needs to be picked up quickly. So good thing, to actually book in and ask for a skin check. It can take a bit of time to do it properly, so it's something that you shouldn't really just add on to another appointment. Actually, book in and have a full skin check is a good idea.
Yeah, and I guess good segue into, you know, encouraging mob to go in and get a 715 health check so they can get some screenings done while they're in there.
Yeah, look, so we know that certainly then the numbers of mob who've attended for health checks this year has gone down. Understandably, people have been doing the right thing and staying at home. We've been able to do some of those health checks with a bit of a mixture of telehealth as well as coming in, but really encourage, it's a really good time of year, end of one year, beginning of another one, come in and have your 715, because there's all sorts of things that we can pick up on there that might need a checkup or some screening.
All right, let's head back around the grounds and ask everybody their deadly choice for the week. Willie, I'll start with you, mate.
My deadly choice would be to make sure that I'm staying hydrated. It's definitely getting warm. Especially over the last couple of weeks. Making sure that I'm staying active. I'm trying to hit the gym every day.
And your resolution?
I've never been one to make resolutions, to be honest. You just put me on the spot, but...
That's all good.
Yeah, it's something that I'm going to have to think about.
Hey, Nath, let's grab your deadly choice for the week and also your New Year's resolution, if you have one.
Yeah, brother. I guess mine, it sort of started a few weeks ago, but I'm trying to eat healthier. I always feel like I eat pretty healthy, but I started the thing doing, I do vegetarian meals, vegetarian days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with vegan Wednesdays. So well, just trying to eat more, just healthier and try different foods, introducing more fruit and vegetables into my diet. Really enjoying that at the moment. I guess with my New Year's resolution, I probably would like to exercise more, making sure I'm setting aside time to exercise. I do love playing golf on a Sunday morning and walking the golf course, but I definitely can put in a few more extra exercise sessions through the week.
And Ian, mate, your deadly choice for the week and also your resolution?
Yeah, my deadly choice for the week is a bit difficult because I normally like to run. Running's my outlet, but I tore my hammy 2 weeks ago, so I can't run at the moment.
Sugar.
So my deadly choice for the week is just to make sure I'm eating really good, because when I don't exercise as much, obviously you got to make sure your diet's good so you don't put weight on. So that's my deadly choice, has been really specific with my food this week and making sure, and for the next few weeks until I can get back onto the running circuit. And then my resolution for next year, I've decided I want to run the half marathon at the Gold Coast in July. So that's my New Year's resolution, myself and the wife. That's our goal, is to train and do that event.
Well, hey, good luck.
How many Ks is that?
21 Ks.
Cool.
And Dr. Harvey, if I could just grab your deadly choice for the week.
Yeah, my deadly choice in this hot weather is actually drink more water. I'm someone who drinks too much tea and coffee. But yeah, when it's hot and when we're losing fluid, drink water.
All right, thanks everybody. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
No worries.
Before we go, some Deadly Choices updates for our listeners. You can check out Deadly Choices Facebook for weekly live sessions, including Good Quick Tucker, Deadly Kindies, DC Fit, and more. Deadly Choices now has a Deadly Choices Programs Facebook group where you can access programs like DC Fit, Good Quick Tucker, and Tobacco Cessation, and even interact with DC ambassadors. Plus, when you sign up, you'll find out how to win a signed Deadly Ruse shirt. Remember, Mob, all our community-controlled health services are open and safe for you to attend, including our own respiratory testing clinics across Queensland. But make sure to call the clinic first, especially if you feel unwell. You can find your closest clinic details at deadlychoices.com.au. If you'd like to see Steve Renoff and Willie Tonga shake a leg, head to our Deadly Choices TikTok. And now is the time to prioritise quitting the smoke. Support is always available through your local community controlled health service or Quitline on 137848. Plus, you can tune in to our weekly Tobacco Podcast live on Deadly Choices Facebook. And if you have any symptoms of a cold or a flu, like a cough, runny nose, fever or sore throat, then it's important you get tested for COVID-19. Call ahead to your nearest respiratory testing clinic to get tested today, and you can find your nearest clinic details at deadlychoices.com.au. Remember to make sure you're still physically distancing at least 1.5 metres from others when out and about. If you're in a situation where you can't keep this distance, please wear a mask and protect your family and community. Registrations are now open for the Junior Murray Carnival. Our 2020 DC Junior Murray Carnival event is confirmed for the new year, January 18th and 19th at Redcliffe's Dolphin Stadium. Don't miss the opportunity for more holiday fun. You can register at deadlychoices.com.au/events. Keep up with Deadly Choices on Facebook and check out previous podcasts on 989fm.com.au. Goodbye for now.
Deadly Choices Radio. Encouraging Mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.